Welcome to the Deep Dive, your shortcut to being well-informed. Have you ever just stopped and thought about how quickly artificial intelligence has, shifted from this sci-fi idea to something we use almost every day? It's not just another tool anymore, is it? It feels like it's evolving into something, much more sophisticated. Today, we're really going to dig into AI agents. We want to unpack why systems like OpenAI's ChatGPT with all its plugins, or maybe xAI's Grok, why people are starting to call them a potential final generation of intelligence as we know it. Our mission here is to kind of walk you through the key steps that got us to this point, look at what these things can actually do, and think about, what it all means for us. We're using insights from a white paper called Demystifying AI Agents, the Final Generation of Intelligence, and also a really neat visual timeline showing AI's evolution. So yeah, get ready for a quick tour. We're aiming for those aha moments, but without drowning you in information. Let's jump in.
It really is a transformative time, and understanding how we got here is, I think, crucial. What's really striking is just how far we've come from that initial dream of machines that could, reason and learn beyond just crunching numbers. It hasn't been a straight line at all, more like these big jumps.
Yeah, and these jumps, they weren't always obvious breakthroughs, were they? Back at the start, AI was just this sort of whisper. Then in 1956, we had the logic theorist. Pretty amazing for its time, right? It could prove math theorems using rules, but its intelligence was, very rigid, stuck in these really tight boxes, great at one thing, nothing else.
Exactly. Then, maybe 10 years later, 1966, Joseph Weizenbaum creates ELIZA. This program acted like a therapist, It gave this illusion of understanding by spotting keywords and firing back scripted replies. It could make you feel heard, but it was basically like a clever trick. No real understanding, just matching patterns.
A really good illusion, though. But yeah, still not thinking. Okay, fast forward quite a bit. 1997, IBM's Deep Blue, huge news, beating Garry Kasparov at chess. Incredible achievement, but again, super specialized brilliance. Deep Blue was a chess genius, but like you said, it couldn't tell you if it was raining or understand a basic joke. Deep intelligence, yes, but really, really narrow.
Right, and that contrast is important context. Then, 2011, we get IBM's Watson winning Jeopardy. Now, this thing showed some pretty advanced skills in pulling information from this huge internal database, cross-referencing things. It handled complex questions with pretty high accuracy, but it was still operating inside this preloaded world of facts.
Okay, now let's compare that to today. AI agents like Grok or, ChatGPT using plugins. The difference is just, wow. These systems aren't just fetching facts. They're drafting marketing plans, they're debugging code, planning complicated trips with actual bookings, writing poetry on demand. They don't just follow orders, they seem to figure out what you mean, reason through fuzzy requests, handle multiple steps, and, crucially, they use external tools. That feels like the big shift.
And it wasn't luck, right? It's this convergence, a kind of perfect storm of progress. We've had Moore's Law giving us exponential jumps in computing power. Then the Transformer model hit in 2017 that was a revolutionary neural network architecture, completely changed how AI handles language. And on top of that, really sophisticated training techniques, mixing enormous data sets with human guidance. That unlocked this incredible adaptability.
So it's like this whole orchestra playing together, not just one solo instrument, which leads to the big question, are we actually talking about artificial general intelligence here, AGI?
Well, true AGI, AI matching or beating humans across all cognitive tasks, it's still debated a lot. But these current agents, they are remarkably versatile. They can hold nuanced philosophical chats, create realistic images, write working code, sometimes all in the same conversation. This sheer range of ability is pushing the limits of what we thought AI could do. It's showing a breadth that's just, unprecedented.
Okay, so a huge piece of this puzzle isn't just the AI's capability, but how we talk to it.
Right.
Our whole interaction has gone from typing commands to having these complex dialogues. We've sort of learned a new language together.
Absolutely. The way we prompt these models, how we instruct them, that evolution has been just as vital as the models getting better. We've gone from needing exact, rigid instructions to sort of guiding them through problem solving.
Right. And one of the first big shifts there was around, 2020? Was zero-shot prompting. Came along with models like GPT-3. Before that, you pretty much had to train an AI specifically for every single new thing you wanted it to do. But zero shot. Suddenly, a model trained on tons of data could try tasks it had never been specifically trained on, just from a plain English request.
Yeah, think of it like this. The old way of teaching AI French was like giving it separate phrase books for restaurants, for directions, for everything. Zero shot was more like dropping the AI into Paris for a few years. Afterwards, you could ask it to order croissants or find the Eiffel Tower, and it could generalize from all that immersion, even without specific lessons for those exact phrases. GPT-3, with its, 175 billion parameters?
Yeah.
That was a total game changer for showing this generalization power.
Okay, so it was amazing for its flexibility, but I guess it wasn't perfect straight away.
Not at all. Zero Shot was, you know, good at many things, but often not great at any one complex thing. Its accuracy on tricky stuff, like legal arguments or even some math problems, often fell short compared to models trained just for that task. It showed the potential, definitely, but also highlighted this need for more precision.
Which led to focusing on verifying the prompt, right? Because tiny changes in how you asked could give wildly different results. So people started figuring out, okay, how do we ask better?
Exactly. Researchers came up with ways to sharpen the instructions. We started seeing structured prompts, like giving the AI a template or saying, I want the answer in bullet points, which really help with things like coding accuracy. And then more advanced stuff, like self-consistency checking, where the AI generates a few answers and picks the most common one. That helped cut down on factual errors, those hallucinations, by a decent amount.
Okay, so we learned to be clearer. But what if you wanted the AI to learn from examples you gave it? That's multi-shot prompting, right? Teaching by showing.
Precisely. With multi-shot, you stick a few examples right into the prompt itself. Say you wanted to sort customer reviews into positive, negative, neutral. You'd just show it a couple of reviews already labeled. This in-context learning is super effective. Some models saw huge jumps in math scores just by seeing a few solved examples first.
That's a big improvement. But for the really complicated stuff, like reasoning for multiple steps, we needed more. And that's where chain of thought prompting, or CoT, came in around 2022, teaching the AI to, like, think step by step.
Yeah, CoT was a massive breakthrough for things like math, logic puzzles, anything requiring sequential reasoning. Instead of just asking for the answer, you encourage the model to actually write out its thinking process step by step before giving the final result. Sometimes just adding, let's think step by step, is enough.
Oh, like that classic riddle. A store had 150 eggs, sold 35, got 60 more. How many now? A basic prompt might just spit out a wrong number, but with, let's think step by step, the AI might say, okay, one, start with 150, two, sell 35, that's 150, 35, what's 115, three, get 60 more, so 115 plus 60 equals 175, final answer is 175. That makes it so much clearer.
And the results were dramatic. We saw models making huge gains, like 40% better on tough math tests, just by being nudged to show their work. It breaks down complex problems, seems to reduce errors, and crucially, you can see where it went wrong if it does mess up.
And then finally, there's verifying the answer itself, not just the prompt, but checking the final output to build trust.
Right. Validating the answer is key. We mentioned self-consistency, getting multiple answers and picking the most frequent, but also techniques like retrieval augmented generation, REG. This is huge. It combines the AI's trained knowledge with real-time info pulled from outside sources, like the web. This really helps cut down on factual mistakes and stops the AI relying only on its potentially outdated training data. It's like giving the AI a library card and a live internet connection.
It feels like we've collectively learned this much more nuanced way to communicate with these digital intelligences. But speaking of how they work, how are these incredibly powerful AI agents actually constructed? Let's look inside the engine room, so to speak, the training methods, the hardware needed, the actual architecture that makes them tick.
Okay, yeah, so the core smarts are really shaped during training. And one of the absolute key methods is reinforcement learning from human feedback, RLHF. This is largely what makes models helpful, harmless, and honest, or tries to. Basically, humans look at different AI outputs and rank them. A separate reward model learns these preferences, what humans think is good. Then the main AI is fine-tuned using that feedback signal.
Right. RLHF was the secret sauce behind ChatGPT's usability, wasn't it? Helped it go from just predicting text to having useful conversations, millions of users so quickly. I've also heard about things like Anthropic's constitutional AI, where the AI learns ethical rules and critiques itself.
Exactly. Constitutional AI aims to instill principles directly, showing really impressive results in reducing harmful or biased output, sometimes by over 99.9%. Beyond RLHF, there's also fine-tuning for specialization. You take a big general model and train it further on a smaller specific data set like medical journals. So a model fine-tuned on biomedical text, say BioBERT, can significantly beat the original general model on tasks like analyzing research papers. It makes the AI an expert in a niche.
And then there's just general reinforcement learning used for teaching skills autonomously.
Right. That's how agents learn the best way to act, by trying things out in the environment and getting rewards or penalties.
Yeah.
Think DeepMind's AlphaGo learning Go by playing itself millions of times. For agents that need to operate independently in dynamic situations, RL is crucial for figuring out winning strategies. And as we touched on, retrieval augmented generation, RLAG, is also a key training adjacent technique. It tackles that frozen knowledge problem head on.
Right. So RA lets the AI bring in current information. It's not stuck with only what it learned months or years ago during initial training.
Precisely. It fetches relevant, up-to-date documents from outside, adds that info to the context, then generates the answer. Big improvement for factuality, especially for news or fast-moving topics. And one more technique worth mentioning. Model distillation. Making AI more efficient.
Ah, so that's how we get powerful AI running on our phones and laptops.
Pretty much. You train a smaller student model to copy the behavior of a much larger teacher model. You lose a bit of performance, maybe, but gain huge efficiency. It allows powerful AI to run locally, which is great for speed, privacy, and just making it more accessible.
These training methods are mind-blowing, but they obviously need massive amounts of power. Which brings us to the hardware evolution. I read that training GPT-3 needed something like 3,000 petaflop days of compute. That's just a staggering number.
The compute demand is absolutely astronomical. It's driven the need for specialized hardware, these accelerators. NVIDIA's GPUs are the big name, of course. They've gone from impressive to almost unbelievable power levels in just a few years. Think thousands of trillions of calculations per second on the latest chips. Google also developed their own custom chips, TPUs, tensor processing units, specifically designed for the math involved in neural networks. They're engineered for both raw power and energy efficiency.
And it's not just in huge data centers anymore, right? We see the impact filtering down. Tesla's Dojo supercomputer for self-driving cars, tiny edge AI chips that sip power, even the chip in your phone doing trillions of operations per second.
Definitely. And holding all this together, the blueprint, is the LLM architecture maturity. And the cornerstone here, the real revolution, was the transformer architecture back in 2017. It introduced something called the self-attention mechanism.
Okay, self-attention. What does that actually let the AI do differently?
Imagine reading a long paragraph, and your brain could instantly see exactly how every single word connects to every other word, understanding the subtle relationships, no matter how far apart they are. That's kind of what self-attention allows. It gives the AI this deep grasp of context, understanding how words relate regardless of their position. It was a fundamental shift in processing language. Nearly all modern LLMs, BERT, GPT, they're built on this foundation.
And that architectural leap translates directly into better performance, right?
Absolutely. Transformers were key to enabling things like that 40% gain in math reasoning with chain of thought. Big improvements in just understanding language nuance. And it also unlocked multimodal AI models that understand images, sound, even control robots based on visual input, not just text.
One thing users definitely notice is the expanding context windows. That's how much info the AI can juggle at once, crucial for long chats or analyzing big documents.
Yeah, the progress there has been insane. Early transformers handled maybe a few pages of text, 500 to 1,000 tokens. Now, GPT-4 handles up to maybe 100 pages worth. Claude 2 pushes towards 600 pages. And the latest, like Gemini 1.5, are claiming context windows of a million tokens. That's like 3,000 pages. Enough to process several novels in one go. It allows for incredibly complex reasoning over huge amounts of information, though there are challenges, like making sure important details don't get lost in all that text attention dilution, they call it.
Wow. It's like upgrading the AI's short-term memory from a sticky note to an entire library. But what really elevates these models to agents is when they go beyond the model reaching out with external tools. This feels like the next big jump. AI not just knowing things, but doing things by using external tools, APIs, databases, moving from just thinking to acting.
This is absolutely fundamental to the whole concept of AI agents. We saw early signs with things like DeepMind's WebGPT, which got significantly better at answering questions just by being allowed to search the web. Now we have frameworks like AutoGPT, which can take a complex goal, break it down, and then use tools like accessing files, running code, searching online to try and achieve it.
And the plug-in ecosystems we see with ChatGPT and others are prime examples, right? Letting the AI book flights, order pizza, analyze spreadsheets. It's AI interacting with the digital world directly.
Exactly. The upsides are huge. vastly expanded abilities,
yeah.
better accuracy because they can check real-time data, and automating really complex tasks.
Wow.
GitHub Copilot accelerating coding by potentially over 50% is a great example. But it's not simple. There are challenges. Handling errors when a tool fails, major security considerations when giving AI access to external systems, plus the extra time and cost these tool calls can add. The AI itself needs to be smart about which tool to use and when.
Okay, so we've traced the history, the prompting, the engine room tech, and now this ability to act in the world, which brings us to the main event. AI agents, the culmination, the acceleration, and the stakes. This is where it all comes together.
Yeah, modern AI agents are these integrated systems. They combine sophisticated understanding from transformers, complex reasoning like chain of thought, access to live knowledge via RAG and tools, the ability to execute tasks through APIs, and this underlying goal-oriented drive. We see it in consumer tools like ChatGPT with plugins, Google's Gemini efforts, but also in specialized research like Anthropic developing agents that can autonomously design and suggest scientific experiments.
That sounds incredibly powerful, which of course leads straight into the societal implications. This is where the double-edged sword really shows, isn't it?
Absolutely. Take healthcare. Amazing potential for faster diagnoses, discovering new drugs, but huge questions around patient privacy. Who's liable if the AI gets it wrong? And the risk of doctors becoming over-reliant, or business. Automating workflows, optimizing logistics could boost productivity massively. But then you have the very real concern about job displacement. Some studies suggest nearly half of U.S. jobs could be significantly impacted by automation.
And education, too. Personalized learning, tutors available 24/7 sounds great, but what about equal access? Does it reduce vital human interaction?
Across the board, there's this tension. Huge potential for good, increasing accessibility, reducing human error, driving economic growth, but also serious risks amplifying bias baked into data, figuring out accountability when things go wrong, and let's not forget the enormous environmental cost. Training something like GPT-3 used a massive amount of electricity. It's a really complex picture with high stakes.
And maybe the most mind-bending part of this whole story is the sheer acceleration, the speed. Some independent research suggests AI performance on key benchmarks is basically doubling every 6 months or so, roughly. That means capabilities could be quadrupling every year.
The evidence is pretty striking. Look at GPT-4 versus earlier models on tough benchmarks like the MMLU test. It went from, you know, mediocre scores to outperforming most human test takers in just a generation or two of models. This incredible pace seems to be fueled by everything hitting at once. Faster hardware, better architecture, smarter training, more data, intense competition driving innovation, maybe even AI helping design better AI.
So what does that mean? If this trend holds, even roughly, AI could plausibly surpass human abilities in most cognitive areas within maybe the next decade. That's not far off at all.
We really have traveled an incredible distance. From the logic theorist's simple rules to today's adaptable tool-using AI agents. It feels like a fundamental change in what intelligence can mean. These agents truly represent a new era, maybe this final generation of intelligence as we've conceived it, with abilities that mirror and sometimes exceed our own. And that data point about intelligence potentially doubling every 6 months, it's hard to ignore. The gains are just astonishingly fast.
But this future, this agentic age, it's not set in stone by the tech itself. It feels like it's being defined by the choices we make collectively about how we develop and use it. AI agents could unlock incredible human progress, think in curing diseases, tackling climate change, revolutionizing education. Or if we're not careful, they could make inequality worse, damage trust if they're guided by the wrong incentives or without enough foresight.
With capabilities potentially quadrupling each year, we're not just watching this happen, we're actively building this new reality. So the thought we want to leave you with is this.
What role will you play in shaping this dawn of the agentic age? How can we navigate it with wisdom and foresight? Thanks for diving deep with us today. We'll see you next time.